Are you benefiting from writing critiques? Are you searching for the best person to critique your specific writing project? Oh, my friends, today's episode provides you with the why, the where, and the what you need to know about professional and peer critiques.
Stick around. This encore episode of Your Best Writing Life begins right now.
Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb, and each week I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the writing and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. I'm so very, very glad that you are listening in to this episode. Today, what you're going to learn about is a writer's best practices for giving and receiving critiques. This is for all of us. My industry expert is Dr. Catherine Hayes. Catherine is a freelance writer, content editor, artist, speaker, podcaster, and sensitivity reader. She's a member of Word Weavers International and serves as an online chapter president and mentor. She belongs to the Florida Writers Association, American Christian Fiction Writers, Crime Writers of Color, Advanced Writers and Speakers Association, and the American Association of School Administrators. She has authored a Christian Bible study for women and is working on the prequel to her first general market thriller novel. Please welcome Dr. Catherine Hayes. Catherine, thank you so much for being here, girl.
Oh, man. Listen, it is a pleasure and an honor, and I thank you so much for the invite. You are amazing. I've learned so much from your classes and your workshops. And so I consider myself blessed to be here.
Oh, you're so nice. The money is in the mail. Just so you know. Oh, what do we say today? What do we say? You're just a Venmo away. So, all right. So that'll work. Oh, this is so good. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and jump right into our content for today. And why is it vital to have your work professionally and peer critiqued?
Yeah, well, you know, as a writer, it just helps for you to be realistic. So once you put your work out there, it's there forever, especially now with social media and the way that information flies around the world in seconds, because people will judge, you're going to review and criticize it. But critiques are way more helpful when they're reviewed long before publication. So in fact, critiques are one of the best ways to actually improve your writing. And that's when I saw the shift in my writing. I wrote, you know, all my life from my former career as an educator, as a school principal, as a guest instructor for my former university. I still wrote. I wrote all kinds of journal articles and all of that. But when I switched genres, it was a completely different thing and I had to relearn. So when I do workshops, I don't know if you're like this, Linda, but I'm like this. I'm basically going in like, listen, people, this is what I did wrong. Don't do it that way.
Learn
from me. Like, I will share some really horrible, embarrassing stories, what not to do, and then the shortcuts about how to do it better, not to do the things that people like me have done. So one of the best ways to propel your career as a beginning author is to have your work professionally and peer critiqued. And the professionals do it as well. They're not just going to pump stuff out and throw it out into the universe. They also have peers. They also have professionals. And I guess we can talk about the differences, you know, professionally, just really quick.
Sure.
You're usually paying for it. And you pay for what you get, right? So you have to look at, okay, what kind of editing am I doing? Am I getting? Am I getting developmental? Am I getting line editing, copy editing, or proofreading? And you have to make sure that you know the difference. And then the other part are peer critiques. And so you want to be in a community of writers. Mm. you definitely want to share your work with people who write in your genre, or at least getting, you need to get feedback professionally or from your peers based on your specific genre, because every genre has different nuances and you have to make sure that you're writing for that audience. So that in a nutshell is why it's vital to have your work professionally and peer critiqued.
And you mentioned it, that when you said even the professionals do it,
mm-hmm.
the best thing we can do is embrace the color red. And it's not so much red anymore. It used to be. But, I just started writing everywhere when people would say, what's your favorite color? I'd just go red. Now, it happens to be a color I love to wear, so that works with me. But mm-hmm. it's the mentality of becoming better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everyone. Yeah. We can all learn more and we can all become better. A term I use when I'm in front of young people and will say, everyone knows that practice makes, and everyone goes, perfect. Yeah. And I go, not really. Uh-huh. Practice makes better. Every time.
That's good.
And that's the same with us. When we do our first draft, right? It's rough. And we need to actually put that at the top of the page. Yes. This is a rough draft. And mm-hmm. knowing that it's going to get better and it's going to get better, and to have others' eyes on it is mm-hmm. how it will become the best that it can be. And I appreciate that you said, have you, those that are reading, that are your beta readers, whoever's mm-hmm. eyes are on yours, mm-hmm. that they are the audience you're wanting to reach, or that they write in that genre, mm-hmm. because you have someone who is a fiction writer and you're showing them a nonfiction book. Well, mm-hmm. they're going to color it up a lot more. They're going to find things that they're like, oh no, this is so boring. Yeah. But there can be some help there, but knowing it is someone who gets you specifically in the genre that you're working in.
Exactly. So
vital. Yeah. Yes, it is. We must have both professionally mm-hmm. and peer critique.
Peer critique. I'm going to use that word, critique.
You know, I'm going to make that into a word. Right. Yeah. What do you do? I do critique. It
worked for me because
my
name,
of critique.
Yeah,
yes.
My name begins with a K. I'm going to say, hey, you're going to get a critique today.
Oh, that is so good. thank you. And you can Venmo me on that. So that'll work. All right, let's go ahead and go to the next thought that I have. We really want to offer a well-rounded critique when we are sharing our thoughts on someone else's writing. And we also want to be able to receive that. Share with us the importance when we are giving a critique for it to be well-rounded. And really, what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah, it's vital because it's often reciprocal. You know, this is more your peer kind of critique. And many, many writers who want critiques that will help them improve, they find a writing partner or critique groups. And so they have to understand that's a give and take relationship. Mm. And so you have to not just receive, but you have to understand what it is to give a critique. It's not just saying negative things about something or trying to find all of the errors. Mm. It is very well-rounded. And what I mean by well-rounded, it's thoughtful and intelligent, and it's meant to strengthen someone's writing. So it has to be well-constructed and thoughtful criticism that helps to improve the writer's work and recognizes the fine line between personal preference and the objective quality of the work. Many times people get that mixed up. You don't even have to like speculative fiction, which I do love. But if you have good ground rules and you're doing something that's well-rounded, you're looking to see how to improve voice, to make sure they have a consistent, you know, POV, that they're not head-hopping, those kinds of things, those will help guide you into creating a well-rounded critique. Also know that when it's well-rounded, you lead with the work. You talk about the writing. Don't lead with you, because you don't want to make it personal ever, especially if it's something that's negative, because that's how we're wired as human beings. We just really suck in all of the negativity, and it kind of, you don't want to ever kill someone's passion to write or desire. You want to lead with the positive, lead with something really positive. And it goes back to a organization that I belong to, is Word Weavers International, that you mentioned earlier.
Right.
And yeah, they have the sandwich method. And so you lead with something positive, and then you give something where it could be done better, or, you know, something that you noticed that maybe was jarring, and then you close with something positive. But it's always, it's not like you don't say something like "it was good." You say, "I love that sentence. It was informative. It was colorful." And but here, you know, you're overusing commas. You head hopped in this section, and then you close out and say, "You know, I'm really looking forward to reading the next chapter because it was intriguing." Something to that effect.
Certainly, you need to be authentic. You need to be authentic. It can be difficult if you have a new member join a critique group. You've not seen any of their writing before. They come, they sit down, they put it down in front of you, and you're looking at it, because I know with Word Weavers, it's basically you get it, and now you're reading, someone's reading it, and you're doing the critiquing right there. And so with it, you're going, wow, that's, man, there's a, whew, okay, what do I say? And have you always had such excellent penmanship? I mean, you know, I mean, I'm joking. This is so good. It's typed. I know, but, you know, the font choice was excellent. Now, there are times, you know, we don't want to say something that's aloof. And like you said, we don't want to broad brush the good aspects of a critique. But if God has called an individual, especially, I mean, when we're looking in the Christian community, there is something that you're going to find that is a gem, and to look for it, because then it gives the hope for every writer to hear, this is more than exceptional.
Right.
This is the way that you positioned, or the way that you utilized this particular style of speech, whatever it is. It resonates with us, like you said, and we want to come back. We want to come back. And even if you're going to tell me what is not the best that it could be, that's okay. I'll come back, because that's I want it to be that.
Yeah.
That's very good. I like that. And we do give and take. We don't just show up at a critique group and say, here are my first 10 pages, and someone look at it, but I'm not going to look at anyone else's. That doesn't fly very often. So
I like it. And you chew the, you chew the food, not the host. And
because
I always look at critiquing. I make it fun. I like things to be fun. It's just easier that way. And I just think of the critiquing process as a party. And when you chew the food, not the host, like I said before, you're always referring to the piece, the sentence, the paragraph, the prose, or the narrative, and you're judging the work, not the individual who produced it.
So good.
And so even though compliments aimed at the writer might be well received, there's a subtle but significant difference between pointing out like the flaws in the piece versus the person who created. But I do something subtle. If I'm saying something that's maybe not that flattering and it is more a critique, I specifically talk about the piece. But when I want to say something positive, I talk about the person and the piece.
Nice.
Because, so they get double for their trouble.
Yeah, they do. But that also means that we see them. And, you know, as writers, lonely business. And to be seen for what it is that we are producing really does lift up our face. And that's a great strategy to use.
And
so good. All right. So where are the best places that we can find professional editors?
I know you're going to like this, because this is a conference that we go to, but attending conferences are, it's an excellent way for you to find professional editors in person. You will get to meet them and see, you know, how they work. You know, sometimes you can even sign up for a critique before you, most writing conferences are like that. You can sign up for critique and you get a taste of what that editor is like. And you, if you're working with an editor, you're working really closely with them. So you want to find someone who fits your personality, even your genre, your niche. So conferences, places like what's coming up, Asheville Writers Conference, Blue Ridge. Also, there are things that are like specific to your genre, like if you're a thriller writer, BoucherCon or Thriller Fest or Killer Nashville. And then other places are professional author associations, you know, especially in your genre or niche. Other places to go like are Fiverr. Fiverr.com. Mm. Make sure they have really good reviews. These are not necessarily Christian places that I'm talking about right now. This is just Fiverr.com, spelt with the two R's at the end. Readsy is a really good place to go for vetted editors. And also joining a professional writing organization or a critique group is a great way for you to also find an editor and ask for references or, you know, see what people are saying, you know, just make sure that you know what you're getting into. Oh, 540 community.
Yes.
Yeah. So that 540 writers community has recently become a nonprofit because I'm on the board for that now. And that is such a fantastic community because it's specifically built for people who may not be able, who may be shut in and may not be able to travel for health reasons, especially now we understand that, or financial reasons, or their job, their work. It's like a writing community and they have like a mini conference once a week. So, and many opportunities in that group. So there are many other groups. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Becky and Koviak. So and it's very,
I'm scared to pronounce her name.
You can say blue hair Becky. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Beautiful blue-haired Becky.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the whole group over there, very caring and very open, and being that it's online, very accessible. Yeah. So wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunities to find professional editors and to get reviews or to ask them, is there someone that you've done editing for that I can talk to? And if you are an editor, it's really good for you to have 3 to 5 people that you can say, you know what, here's some referrals. Here's talk to them. They know how I work, because that sets you up for success. So that's another thing to be thinking of if you are on the professional side and you want to be seen in the notch above, then you don't wait for someone to ask. Say, I have some of these, and they're happy to answer the questions that you have.
Yeah, so word of mouth. I forgot the biggest one. The biggest one is a Christian pen. Oh my gosh!
Oh,
girl,
what do you think?
Yeah, I belong to the Christian pen. I'm one of their bloggers as well. Oh my gosh, that is such an empowering, established community of editors. Oh my goodness. Please hop on over there. Find an editor at the Christian Pen.
We have several of the links in the show notes. So you'll be able to find them in the show notes.
Okay,
and
perfect.
Click over there. Find the one that works for you. So very, very good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then we spoke about the peer critiques, the professional critiques. When you are wanting to have more of that experience, having a quality peer critique done on your piece, where do you go for that?
Yeah, again, 540 is a great place to network with people there. It's a really healthy organization and people are constantly helping each other. Faith Writers is another good one. More Than a Writer is great. The Association of Christian Writers blog, the Christian Authors Network blog, Word Weavers International, American Christian Fiction Writers, Crime Writers of Color, and Sisters in Crime. Many of those are excellent places to find quality peer critiques. And so in those places, they're not going to cost you. Mm. You're going to develop a rapport with people who are like-minded and you'll be able to exchange critiques.
And that's good. Finding someone that's a good fit. We don't always fit with everyone, but it's finding someone that we, gosh, we enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy what we're doing. And it's the iron sharpening iron impact.
Right.
So that makes it, and we all grow from that. All of us.
Exactly.
That's a great choice. Great choice. Catherine, when we're looking at a literary critique, there are some basic components they all should provide. Would you go ahead and walk us through that?
So, number one, don't ever provide a critique unless you're invited to do one, right?
Let me tell you what I think about your writing. I really didn't ask you what you thought about my writing. Oh, we do get those.
That's super fun.
Critique upon invitation only.
Yes, invitation only. Yeah. And this is going both ways. If you're, don't waste time on writers who are looking for praise, right? Seek out writers who want feedback that will genuinely help them and improve their work. And that should be for us too, right? So reading your work to your kids or your husband or whatever family and friends that you have that are going to say your stuff is amazing all the time, that's not going to help us grow.
No.
So we have to keep that in mind. Also, make sure that I said it before that it's thoughtful, it's helpful. Always critique the writing, not the writer. Begin with strength, then address the weaknesses and problem areas using very positive language. Be objective, especially if the piece you're critiquing is not in the style or genre that you prefer. Make solid and look for, if you're getting a critique, look for solid suggestions for improvement. They should never be vague. They have to be really very specific. And always look for editors who are going to follow up with you with support and encouragement. And then if you're providing a critique, that's something that you want to make sure that you're providing. And I always look at it as a party, right? RSVP with care. Just make sure that your exchange is beneficial and a positive critique relationship. That's what you want to, you constantly want to get into. And then bring a gift to the party, right? So whether you're in a critique group and you're giving the critique, make sure that you take the time to read everything carefully. You make notes, you mark it up as you go. And you want that from someone who's editing your work, someone who's definitely thoughtfully gone through your piece and knows your piece. I work with a mentor who even knows my characters. Like if I write something, he'll say, that person wouldn't say that. And that's the kind of editor that you want. And I work with, there's a young lady I work with, and I'm like, oh, come on, that's a cliche. Like, you're so creative. I know you could say it better than that. Right. So your editor should get you and should be able to know your strengths and weaknesses and should push you along. And so you really want to make sure that you embrace that in both giving and receiving a critique. There's absolutely nothing worse than receiving like half-baked feedback, right? It's really obvious when someone hasn't put real sincere effort into a critique. And so that can damage the relationship if you're the one giving it or receiving it. Oh, there's also, even if it's not your music, dance, right?
There you
so
go.
If you happen to be someone who is now reciprocating a critique, just know that just because it's not your genre or just because you don't like things written in the first person, it just makes it less appealing to the person who's turned off by it. So know the difference between your own personal preferences and separate that from your critique.
Catherine, I appreciate that you highly recommend we offer a solid critique. Got a young lady that I just spoke with earlier today, and she has an editor with her manuscript and was really excited about going to work on it. She knew it needed work and she was going to go to work on it as soon as she got it back. And when she got it back, there wasn't really a lot for her to work on, and she was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, maybe it's just because you're a really good writer. She said, no, it's like it was skimmed and not, I wanted more. I wanted to know, really, how can I make this better? So a thought for us to consider is, if we are giving critique or we are receiving critique, to be prepared to place our expectations on the table. Mm-hmm. If I have a critique partner, this is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And I will receive it. I am teachable. I want this. And for if you're like, yeah, you gave me this critique, can you explain this portion right here? Because I'm not seeing that in my writing. Mm-hmm. So having that give and take right there as well, but knowing what our expectations are. And if we're a new writer, mm-hmm. we may not know how to even voice that because we haven't experienced a critique. Could you toss something in there about that? Maybe expectations of new writers and how we can give a buffer to them?
Yeah. So if you are, let's say you are looking to hire an editor or work with a critique group, specifically working with an editor, like I will say, hey, these are my strengths. I'm really good at fiction. I'm really good at suspense or the Civil War, that kind of thing. That's what I like to read. And in nonfiction, I like to read, you know, things about self-help and women's self-help and all of that. So that's important so that they know that they're dealing with someone who is comfortable with what they write and likes it, and not someone who's like, well, you know, I just edit mostly textbooks. Maybe I'll take you on. You want someone who's into it and wants to work with you. And then you want to know clear-cut expectations. What kind of edit am I looking for? Specifically, am I looking for a developmental editing, which is examining the big picture and the structure of a book or piece? And this is heavy editing. And if needed, that should really occur first, right?
Right.
And then for line editing, that's more stylistic and it refines every line for smooth and clear text and flow. And then copy editing, that's more addressing your grammar and your word usage and punctuation. And it also checks for internal consistency and you do some fact checking in there. Those are the people who will be fact checking your biblical references, if that's what you're using.
Right.
You know, was King James, you know, ESV, whatever. I don't know if you edit that stuff, Linda, but you have to make sure you go back because sometimes we'll get the versions wrong. And you don't want that to ever get out in print. So
that's right.
Things like, proofreading. Then proofreading is a final check for typos, repeated words, spacing, formatting, consistency, all of that. So those are the different types of editing. But you also want to know, what is your communication? There's some editors who are introverted, like a lot of authors are. I think you and I are different, Linda, for some reason. I don't know
why. I don't know why.
So we're so not that person.
Yeah.
So sometimes people shy away from doing a Zoom meeting or speaking on the phone or something, or meeting up. They prefer to do everything online or on the computer. So you have to know what is going to be done from that particular person and what their communication style is. If they're just going to work with you ongoing or they're just going to send you the complete edit, you know, at once.
Right.
So,
and knowing how to work with track changes, the proper way to, you know, set up your manuscript, to set up your piece that makes it easy for critique. All of that comes when you get involved more in the industry and with a critique group and those that will come alongside you and say, this is best use of our time and our efforts. And we know going in, these are the expectations and this is what I'm going to walk away with. Anything that we have not covered, you would like our writers to know about?
One of the things that I'd like to point out is that if you, whether you are beginning a writer or you are a seasoned writer, that feedback never gets old. They're just things that you just miss. And even the best do miss certain things. And there's certain nuances that you want brought attention to. If you're, like, for instance, one character I had, I had this character, she was holding one child. She had her arm around another child, and then I had her arm around her mother, right? So that would mean she had, what, three arms,
three,
right?
Three arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I had a family member like that. We don't talk about them often, though, so. They're always not really realistic, but anyway, I digress. No, but you're absolutely right. We don't see it.
Yeah, and so that got past a lot of different rounds, right? So this is one of the final rounds for a book that I'm working on. And I was so grateful. Imagine if that got out in print, you know, readers would tear that apart. So enjoy the process.
Yes.
When you get that first draft out, just go for it. Just don't edit while you are just freely writing. Just don't limit yourself. Let your editing be that a whole separate thing. Just go ahead and write, and then do your editors a favor and your peers a favor. Learn the gift of good self-editing. Self-editing helps to make the whole process easier. There's so many books on self-editing and how to do better in terms of the own
right.
issues that you might have. And then when you are able to turn that in, then it's in much better shape.
Absolutely.
So make sure you turn off your inner editor while you're actually doing your draft. And then and then know, after you get that feedback through track changes, which that's what the professionals use, then you feel like, okay, this is my time to ice the cake. I'm going to shred. I'm going to take out all the cellulite, you know.
There you go.
And then I'm going to throw in all the juicy details, and I'm going to make it really beautiful. And that's your fun time to make your writing the best it can possibly be, to pop. And the peers, those are people who are coming alongside you in your community, your professional editors, all of those people. It takes a village to create your masterpiece. Even if it's an article, you'd be surprised what it would take behind the scenes to get something out that's polished and finished.
That's right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right. All great information for us, and understanding the give and take of writing critiques. This is good information. Yeah. And I know that we have a giveaway that you've got for our listeners. It's already in the show notes. What are they going to receive?
Okay. So they're going to get a toolkit. So all of the things that I talked about and more, I have a nice toolkit for them to go where they don't have to go and Google it and look all over for it, but it'll be right there. All the things that we talked about, places where they can go to find professional editors, you know, the steps to a well-rounded critique, all of those things will be there for them.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. In addition,
yeah,
I'm
go ahead.
Throw in something. Okay, so there will be a special code on the sheet, and then they go to my website and put in that code. They are able to download a free mini ebook. How about that?
Ooh, I like that. Too. We're all about the free and the and the mini. I don't know. There's something about mini things that's always good too, because for me, it's like something that's quick. But I think that's part of my personality as well. I like that this is also a toolkit, and because it helps us to know that writing does take work and writing needs to be tweaked. And, you know, there's some things that we're going to have to move around or change up or tighten up. Mm-hmm. And this is all part of the process, and it's a wonderful process. And, and I like that you make this a party. I like that we're putting the icing on the cake. And we're dancing, and we're going through this process, not as a drudgery, but as an opportunity to truly enjoy
right,
what God has called us to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So exactly. Yay, we've got this. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. as a first time guest on Your Best Writing Life, mm-hmm. I always like to offer our listeners a peek behind your personal curtain.
Okay.
And is there something that you can share with us that more than likely we're not going to find on your bio?
Yeah, there is something. Yeah. So back in the day when I was in college, you know, we're the starving college student, right? I owned a clown and event planning business, right? And so, yeah, I was a clown. My mom made my outfit. I was Pogo the clown and rainbow hair. It was quite funny. And my sidekicks were either one of my college friends, my college roommate, or one of my siblings. And let me see, my brother often would be Aladdin. And my sister would be Mary Jane, or my college roommate, or I had another college friend who was Aladdin. So, it's out. It's out now.
Now, I mean, I'm never going to look at you the same.
Yeah. Yeah. I did ventriloquy. Yeah. I did.
Oh.
I know how to do ventriloquy. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm actually going to do that to you. I'm going to make it seem like you're talking.
Oh, okay.
But I won't. I'll be the one talking because my mouth won't move.
All right.
I'm going to work on that.
Okay. I think you could do it. Wait, is that happening right now? Oh, I think that is a good idea, Catherine. How could you do that and laugh at the same time? I've seen the people that are drinking water and they're singing. That must be the same type of technique that you're using right there.
There you go.
So good. So yeah. Good. Yay, you are fun. Let's talk about another fun thing. I know that you have written a Bible study called God's Little Black Dress for Women, How to Put on the Full Armor of God Without Losing Your Femininity. Yeah. What a great book.
Yeah.
Great book. And you've had fun with it. And what can people expect if they get a copy of that book?
Yeah, that book was really, it came out of conversations I had with my daughters when they're young adults now. I have the baby is 15, so everybody else is grown, and the two oldest are out the house. And so we have her sister and her here. And it was written out of conversations to my girls about the Bible and how does it relate to modern day times? Because a lot of the things that they were going through, they would say, Mom, that doesn't relate to what we're going through now. The Bible's like, it's old fashioned. It doesn't relate to me. And it's me pulling out parts of the Bible so that our young people can look at it and see it's just as up to date as it needs to be. Right. We're all going through the same thing in just different time periods. So, I use different women in the Bible. I have fun with fashion. It's kind of based on, the little black dress that Chanel, invented. And we do lots of little fun, fashion trivia in there and quotes from different designers. And so that's the fun part, but it's all about what does my walk with God look like now today? How is it still relevant?
Very good.
Yeah.
Get a copy for your young girls and go through it with them. I think that's a very good, very good suggestion there. And I know that you have a, new book, a thriller, a fifth of the story.
Right. It's a fifth of the story published through Endgame and the imprint Harambee Press. And the premise is, people think that there are three sides of the story, but the premise is there's your side, there's the other person's side. It's what people see. They're the facts. And then it's what God sees about the entire story and what he thinks about it. And the gist is, if we live for that one fifth, that we will live a pleasing life. And now, it's all in the theme of thriller, espionage, shoot 'em up, bang bang. I'm definitely not a chick flick kind of a girl, and so it's super fast paced, very realistic. My husband has a background in the intelligence agency. And so I write from a very realistic place. I've done a lot of research. And so, yeah, if you're into that, I think you'll really like it.
Oh, I will take a gander at that. Again, links in the show notes.
Yes.
Every place mm-hmm. that you can find Dr. Catherine, except for on vacation. So,
yeah, come hang out with me. I have a podcast I would love
for you guys
to check out. Yeah, it's called Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem Laced with Morality. And the reason I want to mention it is because Linda, this wonderful host right here, helped me come up with that snazzy title. Mm. Yeah. And so I took a class you had at Blue Ridge regarding podcasts, and that really helped me to go for it. So thank you very much.
You are so welcome, and you're doing mm-hmm. well. And we have a link for that in there in the show mm-hmm. notes. So you'll be able to find Catherine and connect with her and, you know, a wealth of information. And mm-hmm. that's what we're all about here as a family of God, as communicators, as writers and speakers. And mm-hmm. we're all about spreading the word with words. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that we have the opportunity to do this.
Yes.
It has been a joy for me to have you on Your Best Writing Life. Greatly appreciate you and appreciate what you're doing and all that God is doing in and through you. And it'd probably be fun to have you come back on.
Oh, I would love it. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, friends, for joining us. Share this podcast with another writer or two or 20, whatever the number feels like with you. Please invite them. If you're part of a critique group, have them subscribe to Your Best Writing Life. It's like having a mini conference every single week. And we'd like you to join us. Give us a star rating, post an episode review, and hit subscribe or follow, whatever your podcasting platform allows you to do. I greatly appreciate what you have to say about Your Best Writing Life as much as I appreciate what you choose to write for the kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.